As we continue in worship this day, we have the opportunity to read upon God's word. We'll be reading today from Ephesians, the first chapter, verses 15 through 23. The words can be found on the screen above head. If you would like to follow along. It says, I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, and for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power? God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet, and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, and the fullness of him who fills all in all. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for this time together. We give you thanks for the opportunity to read upon your word and be reminded of your great love for you that you've had for us, your children. God, I ask that you speak through me and inspire me this day that your word might be proclaimed and we might hear with joy what you say to us today. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen. Well, we hear last words at different points in our life. Last words. Many times those last words come before a physical death of someone. However, last words don't always come before someone's passing. Sometimes they come after broken relationships. But I Googled some of the most famous last words of people, and here's what I found. And a lot of these last words come from a book that's titled Last Words of Notable People, Final Words of More Than 3,500 Noteworthy People Throughout History. I won't go through all 3,500 of them for you today, but here's a few I found intriguing. Nostradamus predicted, tomorrow at sunrise, I shall no longer be here. And he was right. Leonardo da Vinci, he was a modest painter, and he said, I have offended God and mankind because my work did not reach the quality it should have. The Mona Lisa isn't good enough. John Wayne, who passed away at 72, turned to his wife in his final words and said, of course I know who you are. You're my girl. I love you. Basketball great Pistol Pete Maravich collapsed during a pickup game. His last words were, I feel great. Steve Jobs' last words, the founder of Apple, his last words were, oh, wow, oh, wow, oh, wow. Harriet Tubman's last words were, give my love to the churches. Tell the women to stand firm. I'm going to prepare a place for you. John Wesley, founder of Methodism, spent his dying breath saying, best of all, God is with us. Last words come at different moments. Many of those moments, we can't seem to wrap our mind around what is going on, but we know those last words are special. They come from people who have affected our lives. We remember those words. The average person will say more than 5,000 words a day, sending emails, sending text messages, exchanging small talk. But we only have one chance to say our last word. And sometimes we don't know when that moment is coming. I wonder if you remember the last words that you spoke or have been spoken to you during your life. Do you remember who were the words spoken by? Do you remember where you were when those last words were spoken? Do you remember who was there with you? Do you remember how your life has been affected ever since? Christ's reign was established by God and God's great power when God raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms. Today in the church world is known as Christ the King Sunday. Christ the King Sunday, it's the last Sunday of the church year. Next year, as we begin Advent, it is the start of the church year. Christ the King Sunday is a day when we believe that Jesus is not one Lord among many, but is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord not only in this world, but in the world to come. Christ the King Sunday, the first time it was ever celebrated was in 1925 when the world was still reeling from World War I and dictators were laying the foundations of World War II. And in Europe and in Mexico, there were great forces of secularization in the government doing all they could to weaken the influence of religion. And so the church sent this bold message, bold statement, on the last Sunday of the Christian year, Christ the King. He says, do what you will, but Jesus Christ will have the final end, the final word. Do what you will, but Jesus Christ will have the final word. You see, the reign of Christ leads people to exclusive hope, to good news that surround the whole world and all humanity at all times. The author of Ephesians prays that his readers may know this confident hope, this to which God has given to those who he has called. His holy people are and inherit a rich inheritance. That God has put all things under Christ's feet, and Christian hope is rooted in the astounding promise that Christ will gather up all things, that Christ will have the final word. That he will make all things new. We have a rich inheritance that is spoken in the scripture. We've become God's own people. We've been transformed from mere creatures on this earth into having a glorious inheritance of the God who rules the universe with immeasurable power. You see, no matter what goes on, in the midst of chaos and fear and illness and even death, Christians hold fast to the image of Christ enthroned above all. We're people who believe that Christ has the final word. God has called us to be his body. The body of Christ, the church, is called the Ecclesia. That's the Big C Church. That's not Northwest Hills United Methodist Church, but that's the Big C Church that spreads throughout the world. The Ecclesia, the body of Christ, the church. Theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer said that Christians must learn how to be the Ecclesia or the church, the big body of Christ. As those who are called forth, not regarding ourselves from a religious point of view as specially favored, but rather belonging wholly to the world. In that case, Christ is not the object of religion, but something quite different, really Lord of the world. He was the Lord in the beginning, he'll be the Lord in the end, even now he is Lord. Even now, he is Lord. Paul does not intend to relegate Jesus to some heavenly throne that has no weight on earth, but Jesus' kingship transforms every allegiance today, every relationship now, even our understanding of life and death. But the work of faith is to live in the confidence of God's final word in Christ, and to know that God's reign is about love and justice and peace, a peace that will triumph over the forces of death and destruction. Years ago, devout Christian Bruce Larson wrote a very helpful book titled Believe and Belong. And in that book, he told about one exercise that he's used over the years to help people surrender their lives to Christ. He worked for many years in New York City, and during this time, he used his office to counsel with people who were struggling with their faith. Often he would suggest that they take a walk with him from his office down to the RCA building on Fifth Avenue. And the entrance of that building is a gigantic statue of Atlas. And Kyle, I don't know if you have that, if it's on that, on this week's, or sorry. Can you go to last service? Got it. Other one. There we go. So in the entrance of that building is this statue of Atlas. And he describes this portrayal of Atlas as a beautifully proportioned man who, with all his muscles straining, is holding the world upon his shoulders. Larson would say, there he is, the most powerful man, powerfully built man in the world, and he can barely stand up under this burden. He would go on to say, now that's one way to live, trying to carry the world on your shoulders. I wonder how many people walk around trying to do that. But now come across the street with me. And they would walk across the street to St. Patrick's Cathedral, and there behind the altar of the great cathedral is this little shrine. Now the other picture, Kyle. Of boy Jesus, perhaps 8 or 9 years old, and with no effort, he's holding the world in one hand. We have a choice. We can carry the world up on our shoulders, or we can give up, say, Lord, here's my life. I give you my world. The whole world to the one who holds the final word. What a reminder that we have as we wake each day to carry the world on our shoulders or yield that burden to our friend who sits at the right hand of God, one in whom we can trust and has the final word in all things. While we're sitting in the waiting room waiting for those results, knowing that Christ has the final word. As we weep over the grave, Christ has the final word. As we watch the news and see people hurt one another, Christ has the final word. When we've seemed to lost, bless you, as we seem to lost all hope and feel that the promises have been broken, Christ has the final word. As we can't imagine anything good coming from tomorrow, Christ has the final word. When we go through every moment in life and we think that there's no way to get through it, and we wonder how, Christ has the final word. And every day we have a choice to make, to carry the weight of the world on our shoulders or to yield that to Christ who sits at the right hand of God and to live our life in a way that gives Christ glory, that shows love and peace and hope, that fights for justice. I wonder how our lives would be different. I wonder in those moments that we feel lonely and lost and disappointed or defeated, I wonder what it would be different if we said, I can't carry this, Lord, but I know you can. And we turn to the one who has all things under his feet, and who always has the final word. We know that on this Christ the King Sunday. Let us pray. Gracious God, we love you and we thank you for this time together. We thank you for your word for us for today. We thank you that as we go through this time, as we finish out the Christian year and as we begin the new calendar or Christian year next week with Advent, as we work towards your birth among us in the form of a baby, Lord, we give it to you. May we give our struggles, our worries, our moments of defeat and say, here, Lord, we need you. We need your help carrying this because we can't do it by ourselves. Lord, guide and direct us as we continue to strive to be a place of love and compassion for every person. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen.